There we go. Welcome to Radio Nation. I'm your host, Nicholas Pescod. Sorry for the already beginning technical delay. Here on Radio Nation, we have a great show lined up for you. We have two wonderful guests here in studio. One is our featured artist, Carolyn Qualley. Make sure I got that right.
Yep, you got that
right. And Braden Murphy, you're here as well. Braden Murphy McFarlane. Yep, you're here as well. One of our technical producers. It's the title you're now getting on the show. And we were off last week, so I thank everybody who's tuning in tonight to listen on this beautiful, beautiful Tuesday afternoon. I don't know about you, but I wish we could be outside right now on our outside in our live studio. One day that'll happen. One day when I win the lottery, I'll build my own outside studio. And, it'll be pretty awesome. All right, so coming up on the show, we're going to talk a little bit about movies and how there are just too many extended segments to movies. And that'll be the topic for tonight. Then we're going to have a live interview, and it'll be great. And, of course, you're going to hear our artist music and from the past and in the future. So that'll be a lot of fun. But first, obviously, some big news for anybody who's Canadian or who just is a big hockey fan. The Winnipeg Jets now have a team back in Winnipeg, which is pretty exciting for anybody who likes hockey or anybody who's just proud to be Canadian and says, yay, we got another team back in Canada. It's another chance to win a Stanley Cup in this country. It's pretty exciting news. It's not 100% official, but it is going to most likely happen. I'm pumped. Everybody else, you're pretty excited. You excited, Braden?
Oh, totally. It's great to see it. Great to see another team in Canada.
Yeah. Do you follow hockey?
No. I'm not much of a hockey person, I can't contribute here. Not at all, actually.
No?
Completely useless for a sports conversation.
That's okay. There's no such thing as being completely useless if you're on this show, believe me. I'm excited as a hockey fan, and it'll be interesting to see where they play in the division, if they play in the Southeast. But it should be great because Winnipeg, ever since the Jets left, everybody wanted a team right back there the day after they left. So good for Winnipeg. It's a win for Canada. And I'm excited. It'll be cool to see teams go to Winnipeg. And it's interesting to hear what the players think because a lot of them are just like, I don't know if I want to live in Winnipeg for 6 months of the winter. But it should be interesting to see. And those fans are already like 80 times more passionate than the fans in Atlanta. So that's that. Now, my next topic is movies. And I don't know if you've noticed, but I notice, and I notice probably too much, but I can't stand how many movie segments there are to movies where there shouldn't be, like, a second movie. Like,
sequels,
a great,
you mean.
Sequels. Exactly, sequels. There you go. That's what I'm looking for, sequels. Like, Fast and the Furious is a great example. Like, the second and third movies I thought sucked. If they'd have just skipped 2 and 3 and just went to 4 and 5, the series would be fantastic. Because 2 and 3 exist, I think they suck. Pirates of the Caribbean is a great example of that, too, because with Pirates of the Caribbean, I find that without Orlando Bloom and Keira Knightley, what's the point in having the movie? You know, I love Johnny Depp, and he's great in what he does, but the movie isn't just about Johnny Depp. It's about the other two characters. Now, I don't mind Penelope Cruz, and I don't know who's taking Orlando Bloom's face, but I really don't care.
I don't even think they replaced his
Did
character.
He just die? Like, he just died?
Well, no, they didn't find a suitable replacement for him, right? So they just kind of...
I've never seen it, so I don't know.
You've never seen Pirates of the Caribbean?
I've never seen the fourth one, or the newest one. I love the first three. The first three are fantastic. Like, I love those movies to death. But I don't want to see the fourth because I think it will ruin my perception of the movie, of the series.
Yeah, for me, I'll just wait till it comes out on DVD and I'll see it then.
Which leads me to my next movie, which is The Hangover. That movie was not designed to have a sequel, if you ask me.
No. It wasn't.
And you just, Carolyn, you just saw that movie, The Hangover, too.
Yeah, I actually just saw it last night, and it was absolutely terrible. Like, it was not, like you just said, it was not designed to have a sequel. I mean, I felt like I was playing a game, like it was a story mode, like this was the next level, and everything was the same, plot-wise, climax-wise, the ending was the same, there was a wedding at the end, there was the pictures at the end credits. It was just like, what's the point of that? The only thing that was different was that they're in a different location.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I heard. It's just going to be exactly the same thing.
Yeah, and it
was. And the original one was so original.
Yeah.
Like, it was...
It was the original. I wasn't a fan of the original. A concept for a movie, I thought it was well done.
Mm-hmm.
But I saw it, and I'm like, I saw the previews. So I think I just saw the movie. So, like, and I sat in the theater, and everyone was dying of laughter. My buddy was laughing so hard, and I'm sat in there, and maybe just my mood that day, or I don't know. I was just like, I don't get it. Like, this is funny, but I just saw the preview before I saw the movie, and now I know what's, like, you know, I just saw the movie in the preview, and I don't know if the second one's like that. Like, when
well,
you saw
I think
the preview.
I think they overdid the slapstick comedy. Like, they would make the fat guy fall way too much. And it was right. Okay in the beginning, but it's like, you know, I think they played on that a little bit too much.
There's a rule for that, isn't it? It's like three times, then you're good,
yeah,
right? And
yeah,
it's
yeah.
Charlie Chaplin rule, where it's like it's three times, it's slapstick, and then it's, that's it. The joke's
yeah,
old.
Yeah, they totally killed it with that.
But, you know what, and that's what I think, like, I just find, like, I was talking to my mom about this the other day, and I was like, Mom, this pisses me off. You know, The Hangover was not meant to be a sequel. It was not designed. It was one movie with a con. What are you going to do, have the nuts and the next guy get The Hangover? Are we going to have four more movies like this? Like, where every character has to do the same thing? Like,
yeah.
It's going to, and I get it. They're trying to make money, and that's great, but how dumb are we as people to go out and, I'm not saying you're stupid for seeing it, but it's like, how dumb are we as consumers to consume the same thing over and over again? Like, it's my fault, too. Like, I'll probably go see Fast and Furious 5 because I think it's cool, but, like, I'm at fault, too, because I hate the second movie, and I hate the third movie. The third one was the worst because it didn't even have Paul Walker or Vin Diesel in it. Just had the guy who's from Friday Night Lights. I don't even know who else was in it, but I can't.
Well, wasn't, like, Exhibit in it, or, like, one of those?
He was in the second one. Exhibit was in the second one.
Oh, okay.
That was weird, too, because there's another rapper in that, too, and I'm like, what the hell? Like, why?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It somehow it just went, it goes from, you know, and then they're in Florida in the second one, and then it goes from Florida to some guy living in Arizona, and it's like, that's
yeah.
cool, and then he gets kicked out and goes to Tokyo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, that's
yeah.
cool, but, like, at the same time, like, this doesn't make sense. And then how they took the Mustang, and they put, like, some, you know, really high-end muffler on it, it just sounded like crap. I'm like, come on, this is American muscle. It can't sound like a Japanese import car. It doesn't work.
Yeah, and then the new ones, they're not even, like, really about cars anymore. It's like a heist film or something like that.
But the fourth one was, have you seen all of them?
The only one that I ever saw was the first one, and I liked it, and I knew that there was going to be two, three, four, and God knows how many more, but I refused to watch them.
Like, I think, like, okay, like, Star Wars does a fantastic job of sequels. Like, they are very, very, like, the movies are very interesting. It's like the same.
No, see, I have to disagree with you on that.
Really? You think so?
Yeah.
Tell me why. I want to know.
Why? Because, like, they, like, the first, like, okay, the first three, okay, this is hard to describe to someone who doesn't know Star Wars.
True,
like,
I'm not a big Star Wars fan.
Okay, like, the first three released, episodes 4, 5, and 6, which is completely weird, and then they released...
Yeah, I noticed that.
And then in 1999, when they released episodes 1, 2, and 3, like, they ruined, like, Star Wars. They released some really stupid characters, and they changed the mythology to, like, how the Force was. They said that it was, like, in the original movies, they said it was all mystical and everything.
Yeah, I remember that.
And then they said, like, that it was, like, in your blood. They said that you were born with it.
Yeah, that's in the one with the little Anakin Skywalker.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah,
and then he's, like, a whiny little kid. So when he becomes Darth Vader, he's...
Go see dead people, you know.
No, well, not
it's the
not
same
that.
Kid who does that.
It's a different guy. It's a different kid.
Is it? It's not, I swear to God, that's not the same kid who does who's in The Sixth Sense.
No, it's a different guy.
Really, it's not the same kid. It looks exactly the same.
Oh,
ask me.
Yeah. But the thing is, like, again, it's like he's just whiny, and then he becomes Darth Vader, who's like awesome. He's like the best villain ever.
Yeah, he's pretty. You know what else doesn't like. I think X-Men does a pretty good job, too. This is my opinion.
I think.
Like,
I agree
although,
with
like,
you on
they're
that.
Going back and they're doing, like, Origins, which was a fantastic movie. I don't know if you saw that, but...
I saw it.
I thought it was awesome. But, like, there's just some sequels where it works, and there's some where it just doesn't. And I get, like, Disney. Like, Disney has this obsession with doing, like, you know, they have The Lion King, and there's Lion King 2, and there's Lion King that's just never, no one ever knows about, but somehow got released on DVD. Yeah, it's like 1 3/4 that got released. And they do that with all their movies.
It's supposed to happen, like during the first movie or something like that.
Yeah, it was some scene that no one ever saw. Just somehow they put into a movie.
That's
but
hilarious.
The first three Pirates of the Caribbean, like, I thought they were fantastic, and I kind of wish they had just stopped there because, like, they were so well done. The music is fantastic. Everything about those movies, I couldn't find much I didn't like about it, but I just wish they had just finished, wrapped it up. It's like, okay, that's great. Yeah, I'd like to see a fourth one, but all right. Like, the good example is The Mummy. The Mummy did, like, okay, after 1 and 2, they just, like, they came out with that third one, and then that was it. They're done. Like,
well, they also had the Scorpion King as well in there.
Yeah, and it was, like, a sidebar to
yeah.
the rest of it.
Well,
but,
because they had to make a movie with The Rock, because everybody liked The Rock at that point.
Yeah, and he's a good actor. I like him.
Yeah.
He's a good actor. But I just find, like, there's too many movies these days that just do a lot of, let's make a second movie because people are going to buy it. But it just ruins the concept of the franchise itself, and... It's all about money. It's not about, let's make a good movie. Let's just make crap and people will watch it. Because if we all collectively agree that we just make garbage movies, everyone's going to have to watch, someone's going to watch something. Like,
well, that's what happens during the summer. Most movies are shit and people's, excuse me.
There you go. Yeah. It's okay. We're not, CRTC doesn't get on us.
No, people. Yeah. Well, most movies are.
They're terrible.
Yeah, they're terrible and people will still go see them.
What's the big movie that's coming out? Like, okay, like, you know what? Here's a good, like, Harry Potter's actually not a bad series because, like, they're books. So like, yeah. It makes more sense because it's like, you read the books and you're like, all right. But even the books were fantastic. So the movies are actually really well done. But like Lord of the Rings too, I guess they're well done, but I couldn't stand reading Lord of the Rings.
Oh man, I've read the books. I've seen the movies. Those are amazing.
Movies?
Yeah.
You know what? I've never watched a movie.
Oh, I'll have to let you borrow them one day.
I don't know if I'll ever get. You know what? I read all the books except for the third. I got halfway through the third book. I put it down and said, I'm not reading this anymore. Like, I got so confused. I have seen parts of the first one, though, and I will probably watch it. I'd love to watch it one day, but it's just one of those things where I know people that sit down and they do those Lord of the Rings marathons, and they're there for, like, 18 hours on their
TV. Oh, my God.
I can't
watch them, but I'll listen to the music all day.
Yeah, the music is good. The music is good.
The score and the soundtracks to that movie, those movies are amazing.
You know who's who I've actually had featured on my show? I'd love to interview. You know Hans Zimmer? He does all
of course,
the yeah, he's fantastic, man.
Wait, you've interviewed him?
No, I would.
I know.
I would absolutely love to interview him. If I interviewed him, you'd know about it. Like, that guy is fantastic. Like I think I listen to 90% of his. Like,
oh, yeah.
I listen to most of that kind of stuff. Like, I think it's phenomenal.
I love musical scores.
Like Pirates of the Caribbean music. Nice. I listen to it before I go to sleep almost every night. It's just so relaxing to me. I'm just like, this is awesome. Like, and I just like, I think about the movie and I'm gone.
I love it because it's a singable melody. It's something that you can actually remember and associate to the film. That's it. That's the greatest technique that any composer can use when scoring something. So
I also find, though, that especially with Pirates of the Caribbean music, it's very like that type of setting where it's like, you know, it's pirates and it's like it's at night and like you listen to that. I listen to that music generally at night and it works so well on like a nice night. Like it's really weird, but it just works. Like, it's phenomenal. Like I think that guy like is a genius in every way. Like he's got to be one of the best musicians of our time.
Yeah,
that's just my opinion, but I mean, I think he's. I would love to interview him. He's from Germany, though, so I don't know how good that'll be. I don't know how easy it'll be to get a hold of him. But.
He may be from Germany, but if he's going to be working in Hollywood, he's probably living in LA at this point.
Yeah, he definitely is.
Yeah, he's probably got a few places. He's probably got a few places.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, Nick, I've got the Pirates of the Caribbean theme stuck in my head at this point.
Thanks a lot. Maybe we should play a song now.
Yeah,
there's that song by DJ Tiesto where he does the Pirates of the Caribbean mix. It's pretty good.
No way, I've never heard that.
Actually, if you dig it up and I'll play it on the show. Yeah,
the Crystal Method did a version as well, which I thought was both of those were amazing.
Where was I? I was at a concert one night, and it was like in Oakville. They did like used to do the waterfront thing I don't know if you've ever been to Oakville or heard of the waterfront festival, but they used to do it. And one night we were there, and they actually did like the band or whatever. I think they're just practicing around. And one of their songs was the Pirates of the Caribbean theme song that they were playing just as practice. And I'm like, that's so awesome. I'm like, this is so cool. Like, you know you've done a fantastic job when it's a movie song. Especially movie scores usually are
not popular for bands to play their music.
Yeah, exactly. So that's like, he's wonderful. He did Black Hawk Down, I think, as well. Tears of the Sun.
Inception. I just saw that last night. And I still got that. Like, that was one of the best movie scores of, like, I can't remember what year, but it was just, like, amazing, because I just keep remembering it. Like, I may have not watched the movie, like if I didn't watch the movie for quite a while, I'll still have it stuck in my head.
Yeah, you know what? I think, you know what was another good one is Titanic is actually fantastic as well.
Well, yeah, Titanic wasn't done by Hans Zimmer.
No, it wasn't. I can't think of who it was done by, but it's fantastic. it's good stuff, too, actually. When I heard Hans Zimmer stuff, I actually went back, and I know it's not Hans Zimmer, but, like, it's still very good. But it's, you know, directed by James Cameron. I'm pretty sure you're going to have a top-notch soundtrack.
Yeah.
Anything that James Cameron does is generally amazing.
Like, I remember Avatar having a really good soundtrack as
well. Yeah, it had a good soundtrack as well. You know what? I wasn't a big fan of, like, that kind of style movie, but it was actually an interesting movie. Yeah.
I remember seeing that in 3D and being completely amazed.
Oh, I bet. I bet.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a break here on Radio Nation. It's 7:50 on Tuesday night here in Toronto, Ontario, on this beautiful Tuesday evening, and I thank you for coming in, all of you, because you could be outside enjoying the lovely day. We could be at the ball game watching. Jay's doing whatever, but it's nice that we're in here. Well, it's not super nice, but it's nice that you're in here joining me. It's 7:51. I'm your host, Nicholas Pescod. Stay tuned for more great stuff on Radio Nation. First song that's coming up is by our featured artist that we had on 2 weeks ago. His name is Envy, and this song features a great artist named Jordan, and it's called Let Me Go. So here it is.
She won't let me go, and she keeps on crying. She won't let me go, even though I'm cheating. Cause she already knows what she needs to know. She won't let me go, let me go, let me go. No, she won't let me go, let me go, 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 go. She won't let me go, 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 go. She won't let me go, let me, let me, let me. She won't let me go.
Time, time, acting like you fine, fine. Coming home and you crying, crying. Got too many and I'm sleeping with your best friend, party on the weekend. Wouldn't want to admit it, I know that you're creeping. Walk your soul cause I know that you're sleeping. Had another keeping secret, I'm cheating. I'm leaving, can't keep the lying, you buying. Even though I know that you're spying. Spotted me firsthand with another girl, and you still don't mind it. Why she here, I can't believe. There's nothing I can do to make a leave. Why she here, I can't believe. Nothing I can do to
she
me.
Won't let me go, and she keeps on crying. She won't let me go, even though I'm cheating. Cause she already knows what she needs to know. She won't let me go, let me go, let me go. No, she won't let me go. We'll be right back.
Thank you. Hi, this is Amanda from the music group Anything But Monday. And when the weather outside is frightful and that pale and wintry look on your face is anything but delightful, don't just sit there and take it. Get on down to Tan Temptations and change your freaking life. Those guys have the new high-end German tan gun with air conditioning, aqua mist, and plenty of vitamin D for everybody. On top of that, they're conveniently located at Oakville at Dundas Street West and Neyafawa Boulevard. Oh, and even though the economy is rotten, you can actually afford this place. So stop making excuses and get on down to Tan Temptations before the mirror cracks the next time it sees your face.
Check us out on the web at www.tantemptations.com or check us out on Facebook. That's Tan Temptations, located on Dundas Street and Niagara Boulevard in Oakville.
I flame up, ready to take flight, just vibing, riding by myself at night. And I'm all alone, far away from home. Don't ask me what I'm on, dog, I'm in the zone. Hold up, I'm feeling alright, just riding, vibing by myself at night. Somebody calling my phone, I wish they'd leave me alone. I wanna be on my own, dog, I'm in the zone. Riding solo, steady scoping out the scene. In the car, listening to the guitar string scream. I'm thinking of some things, something's on my mind. So I hop in the whip, shut the door and hit recline. Make sure I'm comfortable, yet I'm still aware. Open the sunroof and put the smoke in the air. Hope you're not trying to reach me, I just left out. I'm trying to rid my mind of some things that got me stressed out. Staring at the moon and how it shines so bright. Feeling clarity, you hearing me? Getting my mind right. Out here, independent, I don't need no help. Sometimes you just want a little time to yourself. And I'm taking that flame up. Ready to take flight, just vibing, riding by myself at night. And I'm all alone, far away from home. Don't ask me what I'm on, dog, I'm in the zone. Hold up, I'm feeling alright, just riding, vibing by myself at night. Somebody calling my phone, I wish they'd leave me alone. I wanna be on my own, dog, I'm in the zone. Going past the speed limit, but I don't care, just grooving, moving, cruising in the air. Forgetting all worries, getting filled with hope. Forgetting about the bills, forgetting I'm really broke. I ain't thinking about gas, I ain't focused on ass. I ain't thought about gas, went to hell with the past. Man, damn them kids, motherfuck them pigs. And I'm trying not to think about my man doing the beat. I'm getting rid of the habits, no signs of exhaust. So far gone and mad at the prick who cut me off. No reckless road rage, fade breezing in the wind. Can't nobody take me up out of the zone I be in, you know. I flame up, ready to take flight, just vibing, riding by myself at night. And I'm all alone, far away from home. Don't ask me what I'm on, dog, I'm in the zone. Hold up, I'm feeling alright, just riding, vibing by myself at night. Somebody calling my phone, I wish they'd leave me alone. I wanna be on my own, dog, I'm in the zone. You know the feeling when you chillin', staying low to the ground. And nobody surrounds, cause you don't want them around. You ain't trying to be found, people just don't know your vision. Some of them give you a round, now you on a solo mission. No worries at all, cause the flame's been curled. Relaxed and unattached, not a care in the world. If you don't know what I'm saying, you don't know the feeling, G. But if you want the same thing, let it rain. Cause you feeling me, whatever missed calls, you gon' get right back. But every now and again, the shit gets like that. When I don't want no company, if one of me decide, get down. I'm lost in the vibe, don't wanna be found. I flame up, ready to take flight, just vibing, riding by myself at night. And I'm all alone, far away from home. Don't ask me what I'm on, dog, I'm in the zone. Hold up, I'm feeling alright, just riding, vibing by myself at night. Somebody calling my phone, I wish they'd leave me alone. I wanna be on my own, dog, I'm in the zone.
All right, welcome back to Radio Nation. I'm your host, Nicholas Pescod. You just heard some great music there, and I'm just going to read it off for you. So you heard Let Me Go by Envy. That was the first song. And then He's a Pirate by DJ Tiesto. The Vegas Wake-Ups with Justin Bieber, Baby Cover. Can't Stop, Won't Stop by Tallulah Darling. Anything But Monday's Riding on a Rainbow. And the last song you just heard was In the Zone by Jabari. So now I'm joined in studio with Carolyn Qualley, or Carol Qualley, I should say.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. So thanks for coming in. And I know it's a really nice day out, so I thank you for taking the time out of your day to come here and spend a night hanging out in my studio. So the first question, obviously, when I get to ask you is, who are you? And tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, my name is Carol Qualley. I grew up in Markham, Ontario, so it's not too far from here. It's just about half an hour out of the city. But I started with music at a really young age. I started like around 4 or 5. My dad, we're Middle Eastern, so I grew up listening to him play Daoud. Actually, it's a Middle Eastern lute. It's like a pear-shaped guitar. Have you ever seen one?
I think there's one in your website.
That's right. Yeah. If you've seen the website, then you've seen the guitar.
It.
Yeah, he plays that, and I pretty much was introduced to music by his hand. And I just fell in love with music, and ever since then, my parents put me in piano lessons, and I studied at the Royal Conservatory of Music for as long as I have, and graduated recently.
Right on, and now you're also a York University graduate.
That's right.
And what was that experience like at York?
Well, at first, I started off with a bachelor's degree at UOIT in criminology, so it was completely out of my comfort zone, and I switched immediately, and I switched into music, and that was the best decision I've ever made, and ever since that decision, it led me to a master's degree at UNC, so in music as well. So.
And that sort of leads into my next question, actually, one of my questions, which was, now you're at UNC in Winston-Salem, and now what's that experience like being Canadian and being down in North Carolina and being a musician?
Well, it's definitely, I'm definitely the underdog. I always say that. I mean, being a female in my program is definitely like one of the most unpopular aspects of it all. Female, I'm young, and, you know, it's like those are two things that you'll never see in film scoring. So it feels good to kind of try to break into that. So it's great, yeah.
Do you get discriminated a lot because you're female and you're in film scoring, or is it just something that people
actually,
say why?
Actually, I'm not sure. I mean, I was worried in the beginning that I would be at a disadvantage because of the fact that I'm female and they won't take me seriously, because most of the composers are all men, and all my peers are men. So I was a little bit nervous on that part, but it ended up working out really well, and I did really well this year, so I'm pretty happy about that.
Pretty happy that you chose
Absolutely.
To get out of there. Well, that's key. And so I was reading your website, and you have a Lebanese background.
Yeah.
And that's a big influence in your music. And, mm-hmm. and sort of why is that? I mean, this sounds like a really basic question, but I'm curious to know why you put that into your music.
Well, the reason why I would always make a point to saying that I'm Lebanese and it has such an effect on my music is because my family is first-generation Lebanese, so Lebanese-Canadian, so our culture is very deep in our roots, and it still is, like, till this day. I have a huge family. They're probably mm-hmm. all listening right now, but, but yeah, I've got a big family, and we're all very musical from both sides. There's big musical roots in both sides, so anytime we're together, we're always playing and singing, and it's just always been, like, engraved in who I've been, so it's always been an easy thing for me.
Well, that's certainly an awesome thing to have, and reading your website as well, your dad is pretty much, he's mentioned quite a bit on your website, so your dad has had a big influence in you musically.
Of course. I'm always say that my dad is my biggest influence, as cheesy as it sounds. Right. He really is, though. He's always supported me. He's never told me to stop for music. If anything, he's the one who's always told me to keep on going.
Well, parents can be your biggest support, right? I
mean, absolutely.
They love you the most.
Yeah.
They're either going to be 100% behind you or they're going to question what you're doing, but
yeah.
still support you anyway, right?
Yeah.
So, all right. So at UNC, you're in film scoring. So tell us a little bit about like film scoring, and some people probably don't know what that is, or really, I've never really had anybody on here that's done film scoring, and talk to us about what that is like.
Well, absolutely. It's definitely a field that isn't really popular at all. most people don't really know what it is when I say, I'm mastering in film scoring. They say, well, what on earth is that?
Right. You're like, that's not a game, is it?
Yeah, I know. What are you talking about? You score films? What does that even mean? But I just have to say it in most simplest terms. I write music for movies.
Right on.
And they usually get that. But the thing is, most people don't usually notice that the background music that sets the tone when they're watching the film and when the two characters are talking, that underscoring underneath, the music underneath, the dialogue and all that stuff, that's all specifically composed for that film. And most people just completely overlook it because it fits so well that you don't think to think about it. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, that's actually leads me to something that me personally just wanting to know. And now that I know someone who does film scoring, I can actually ask this question and maybe get the answer I'm sort of hoping to hear. Or not hoping to hear, but wanting to know. And that is, for a movie like Pirates of the Caribbean, which we've talked about already, but how difficult is it to find the score to set the scene? Like, is that a process that takes a lot of time just to find a score for one scene?
Well, usually how the process works is that the filmmakers will temp the final cut of the film, and we're the last part of the process that gets the film. And when we get that film, we get a temp track and temp score along with the final cut of the film. So we actually see what the filmmaker is, you know, like looking towards and
right.
the kind of direction that they want, because ultimately it's their vision, their direction. But we're the experts in that field, so we will be able to tell them if they're in the right direction or if they need, you know, some editing. And we kind of reproduce a score that sounds similar to their temp track, or sometimes the filmmakers will give us the freedom to just do whatever we want, what we think is right.
Right on. And now, sort of switching topics a little bit here. In 2007, you released your first sort of album thing.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk a little bit about that as well?
Well, sure, yeah. I mean, that was my very first venture into being a musical entrepreneur, kind of like going into the direction of making a name for myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was only 17 when I did it, or 17, 18. And I didn't know what I was doing. And that was the first time I got a hold of recording equipment. I just set it up in my basement and went along with improvising and recording what I improvised. So I wouldn't say that it's my most proud moment of a compilation of work, but it's definitely the first definitive thing that I have that we'll look back on, you know.
Right on.
Yeah, it started it.
And you've also performed in front of crowds up to 500 people.
Yeah.
What has that experience been like for you?
Well, it's definitely nerve-wracking. I've never been the type that is at ease with performing in front of people. I'm just very high stress, but you know, maybe one day I'll get to that point where I can feel the bliss of just performing and let go a little bit, but I think that takes practice.
Right on. And so when you were doing it, do you like stage fright set into it?
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's just like your mind takes you into this place where you're so scared of what these people are thinking of you, and if they heard that mistake. And most of the time they don't know the mistake, they don't care about the mistake, they're just watching and enjoying. But being up there, you performing, it's you're not thinking like that. So,
you know, it's funny.
It's a tough thing.
It's funny because it's similar here on radio, too.
Yeah.
I mean, usually some shows I've done, very scripted shows, and if I screw up, I'll know it, and I'll carry it with me for about 5 minutes. And
yeah, absolutely.
But people that are listening don't know it, right? Like, so it is. It's very similar. So now I'm going to ask you, do you do any of your own film scoring? Like, have you done anything sort of on your own where it's just been, I'm going to film score for this movie, I didn't think that was the right score thing? Have you ever done stuff like that?
Well, you mean like anything that isn't a part of the school?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Just like sort of on your own, just like sit there and you're watching me like, this movie score sucked. I'm
gonna
do a
better
job.
Mean like, yeah, like analyzing stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, like, I can't watch a film now and just enjoy it. I mean, ever since I've started studying film scoring, I've ruined every single film experience for myself for the rest of my life. You know, like I can't completely dive into the dialogue and the story because half of my brain is concentrating on the music and the direction that the music is going. And, you know, that's a difficult part of being in this profession, but I definitely have listened to some stuff that I really don't think has should have been made.
So now I have to ask you, how was the film scoring in The Hangover 2?
Actually, I listened to it very closely, and it was one of the parts of the films that I was the film that I was really impressed with.
So one of the few parts of that film.
Very few parts of the film that I was impressed with. It was actually very good because the composer. I totally forgot to look at the composer name, but I noticed that he or she used a lot of aspects of the location. Where was the location that they were in?
I think it's in. Is it in Thailand?
Thailand, that's right. Yeah. So they used a lot of ethnic instruments along with a lot of alternative rock fusion, and right. I thought that was really cool. So I thought it was great.
We should look. Did you want to look that up actually?
We should look it up. Yeah.
So it's the composer that did it, right?
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
All right. So looking into the future, where do you see yourself sort of heading in? Not necessarily, I know you said not 5 years, but where do you see yourself, where's your ultimate goal going to be, and where do you see yourself, what goal do you strive for?
Well, I always try to set myself up with short-term goals, and then, the most important thing that I focus on is the short-term goals, because they're most realistic. So right now, I just currently got signed on to a feature-length indie film. It's called Because You're Too Nice, and they're currently fundraising for the film. They're shooting right now, and I won't start scoring the film until at least the first final cut of the film is done, and that's handed to me. But I can't wait to get started. It looks really great, and it's actually a company that's based out of Charlotte, North Carolina. It's called Process Pictures. And, I'll send you the link.
Now, can you tell us a little bit more about the film itself?
Absolutely, yeah. The film is about the producer. It's actually about his story. It's a romantic comedy. He was recently dumped by a girl that told him that it's not going to work out because he was too nice. I just fell in love with the story because I don't think it's ever been addressed. And it's a whole confusion that men and women are facing,
right.
Being told that you're too nice.
I've heard that.
I've been told that, and I've told that, yeah. And it's a difficult thing. And I can't wait to see how they address it. But it's looking good so far. So I'm really happy to be a part of this project.
Now, will it be? I don't know if you'll know, but when it is released, will it just be an American only film, or will it be something that we could expect here in Canada?
Oh, 100%. They're going to be sending it all over to festivals. It's an indie film, so. Obviously, it won't be in theaters, but,
right.
but
we could expect to see it at possibly the Canadian Film Festival.
Absolutely,
that's
yes,
fantastic. Yeah. So, definitely let me know. And so they're fundraising. So, do you want to tell us a little bit what their goal is with the money?
Well, the fundraising goal is currently set to $5,000, and that's U.S. dollars. Yeah, if you could.
$20 bill will go a little longer.
Yeah,
now.
Absolutely. I mean, like anything would go a long way.
Perfect. Yeah. And do you know any of the actors that are going to be in it? Or?
They just finished casting, so I think they have some artist bios on the website, but I'm not sure of yet.
Well, that's fantastic.
We've got to check that out.
So now I have to ask. If there's anybody else that's listening and they want to get into film scoring, how did they do it? I mean, how did you decide, you know what, I want to film score? Where did that come from?
Well, it actually all started off in my third year of at York University Music. I was mutual friends with a director that was also in the film school. And I would say, I mean, like, just to make a long story short, the best way for anyone to start getting their feet wet in this is to start off with student films, because student films are things that are also being experimental. You know, the topics of the films are experimental, and you have the freedom to really dabble into whatever you think you're good at, and you get a lot of experience that way, and sooner or later, like when you network with these students, these are the future filmmakers of our time. So it's a good place to start networking.
Now, I have to ask, only because in two parts, partly because I got into York for script writing, and secondly because I'm really curious to know, do you guys work closely with the people who write scripts for these movies, or is it something that they hand you the script, you say, this is what we're looking for, and you just kind of go and do your own thing?
Well, it depends on how organized the filmmakers are, really. I've worked with a lot of filmmakers that will just contact me when the process is all completely done, and they just approach me with their need of music, and that's a great way to start it off, and I'm happy to work that way. But with this film that I just spoke about now, they approached me actually really early on, and they sent me the script before they even started casting or filming or anything. And so I'm really like, I feel a lot more involved in this kind of way of doing it. But both ways work, and that's how it's run.
Is there a way that you enjoy more? Do you like being involved more?
I do, yeah. I personally do like being involved more because I feel like I have more of a say in the film, even though like I wouldn't want to give my opinion in any way, like, of changing anything, because they're the experts, and I trust them, and I would want them to do it their way. But it's nice to be able to discuss over such a long period of time, so I can really get the music the way they want it and the best way that film should represent.
And it makes you feel more inclusive, too. Like, absolutely. You're actually contributing more to the film. Yeah, here, just go do this, and when you're done, whatever, we'll see if it works.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
So, my next question, then, is sort of just, like, sort of more about film scoring. But what has there been a movie that stands out to you that has the best film scoring that you've, like, what is the best one you've ever seen? Or is there a favorite one that you have that's, like, this is so well done, like, it couldn't be done any better?
Well, my peers are going to laugh when I say this, but I just have to keep going with this answer. It's The Godfather for me.
Really?
Yeah.
Those are good movies. Those are fantastic.
I'll never step down on The Godfather. It's my favorite score. I have it memorized, and it's pretty much the soundtrack that has got me, like, in love with the field. It's just such a beautiful, well-done piece of music.
Something I want to ask, too, is some movies do this where I think Alice in Wonderland is I'm pretty sure they did it, because they have... Like, you can buy the music that's from the like, that goes with the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But for whatever reason, Alice in Wonderland chose not to include, like, they had music by, like, Shinedown and bands like that, but that wasn't in the movie. It was just score music in the movie. Is there a reason, do you know why that's done, or?
Actually, I'm not sure. I mean, the issues that I have faced, in my time working with student films and stuff, is because since they were so low, I always make sure that I retain my rights, and so I have the license to sell my music under my own discretion. But for something that's a blockbuster, I assume that the studio would own it and they would sell it under their name. But that's why I'm a little bit surprised.
I know it's a kind of an, like, on the top of my head question, and I know it's probably putting you on the spot, and I'm not trying to do that anyway.
No.
But it's just one of those things that it's like when I bought, like, I saw the list of music that's in the soundtrack, but then it wasn't, none of it was in the movie because the score.
Yeah.
And I not even in the credits, so I don't know.
That's interesting.
It was just something they're like, hey, we're going to put this, and it relates to the movie, but buy it anyway, and it's not in the movie.
But,
like,
yeah, actually.
Kind of weird.
That's really weird. I've never even seen that.
But then again, Alice in Wonderland
in
itself is a pretty strange movie.
Yeah.
So maybe that works with them, right?
Yeah.
You know, like, it kind of goes
weird,
with the whole
though.
Concept of how that movie is done.
Yeah.
Anything else about scoring that we should know as just general audience? Because, I mean, it's something that a lot of people don't actually, like you said, don't even think about. It's something that just kind of... You know, there's that scene leading up to, like, a really big moment or that love scene or something, then that really adds the effect to it. It's, like, almost, you know.
Well, yeah. I mean, like, even Steven Spielberg himself has always said that his music, well, he works very closely with John Williams. So he has always said for his films that his films wouldn't have worked without John Williams' score. And it's so true because, I mean, the kinds of music that has been used in his films are so epic and they're so, they add to the drama and they add to the entire overall effect of the film, that if you just completely took out the music, what would you have? You know, it's...
Yeah, that's true. I think it goes with a lot of movies, I think, too. A lot of Disney movies, I think,
absolutely.
Really go like that. Like, if you took out the music, it would be like, what is this? Like,
yeah,
it'd be good, but it would be like, really? Like, come on.
Well, if you look back, I mean, like, a lot of our culture, American culture, is based on a lot of great movie scores.
It's true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you mentioned The Godfather.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's, so, kind of getting to my point then, is just like, if there's one thing that me is just being some random person who doesn't know anything about scores, what should I know about it that, you know, will make me, so when I sit down and watch a movie, be like, you know, now I know what I'm looking for.
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, just because my analytical brain picks out every single detail, I'm not sure how I'd be able to think of it in, like, a general viewer's ears, but I wouldn't know.
Let's put it this way then. Is there a bad, like, what movies are bad with scores? Like, is there some movies that are just like, this was terrible? Like, this just made the movie suck even more than it already was.
Absolutely. There's a lot of times where the composer just didn't know what the hell he was doing. So
right.
It just, like, completely ruins the film. Man, I can't think of a topic or an example off the top of my head, but I'll definitely have to think about that.
Yeah, that's kind of an on-the-spot question.
Yeah, it's an on-the-spot one.
Yeah, I do a lot of on-the-spot questions, too. I should have probably said that. And then, it's interesting that you do film scoring, because I've never, like I said, I've never had anybody in here that's done film scoring, and it is such an important part of a movie. I think it is, besides obviously the acting in itself and the way everything works together as a team, but, you know, without film scoring, I don't think it takes the movie to the next level. It's like for Star Wars, you know, if that theme song wasn't there, yeah. It's like, you know, would Star Wars really, yeah, exactly, you know what I mean? Like, would it really be... Like, it wouldn't be as great without that theme song. As
well, yeah, we naturally associate that theme, like, or even the Jaws theme, like, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
Exactly.
We, like, that's synonymous to danger now, you know?
It's synonymous,
like,
to sharks.
Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
Exactly.
So that's unbelievable for a field that is, like, not really recognized.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, I'd be honest with you, before reading this thing, like, I only really knew of, like we said, Hans Zimmer and the person who did the Titanic, James Gordon Newton. And, besides that, I really didn't know much about it, but I've always been one of those people to look for the soundtracks that aren't the, you know, artists and all this, because I love that in the background music.
Yeah.
It's fantastic, but it's not something that was talked about. I mean,
absolutely.
They don't sell a lot of records.
Oh, for sure. Yeah,
now,
they don't sell.
To ask, do you guys do anything towards video games? Like, is that a whole different bracket of...
Well, I mean, for any composer that's able to score a film is completely capable of scoring a game, commercials, and all that stuff is, like, everything that falls under media is
so
is
it's
all
in the, it's kind of in the same bracket.
Oh,
you can do both. It's just interesting because there's a lot of video game, like, older video game music that is obviously, it's either score, it's been produced, and it's like, I wonder how they did that or where they came up with that. And just doing some of your own score, there's a lot of it, like, generally what I'll ask artists that come on my show, and while you are unique, so this is probably a question that won't generally relate to you, but they write their own, it's like, how do you write your music? Do you think of a beat first and then write to the beat, or do you have lyrics and then make a beat for it? But for you, because you score, do you like think of scenes in your head and then be like, you know, I could create a good score for that? Or do you have scenes where you've seen movies where it's like, that could be better? And
well, generally how we work is that we really, like, are chasing the picture. So, I mean, like, when we do get that footage in, we hook it up to the monitor and we're watching it. And while you watch the film, you're, you know, dabbling a little bit on the piano. I mean, that's how I do it, at least. And so that usually sets... I usually get something right away after I see the scene for the first time and I'm playing on the piano, and then I just go ahead and start orchestrating it and split it up between the orchestra and what the violins get and what the, you know, stuff like that.
Well, that's absolutely fantastic. Now, one of my final questions is there anybody in Canada that's a great film scorer that... you look up to as being a film scorer yourself? Is there anybody that's Canadian that really just is, like, a legend in Canadian film scoring?
I'm not sure that I would say a legend for me personally, but I do know that the guy who did Country Strong just recently, he's Canadian.
Right.
So I think he's moving up the
ladder. I can't think of his name.
I can't think of his name either, but I know he was Canadian because I actually had to present his score at school.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
But so there isn't really anybody besides that. I'm sure there's others, but it's...
I'm sure there are, but I, you know, I just...
Right. It's a very underground thing.
Yeah.
It's very, very,
it's underground. It's true.
Not a lot of people know about it or really think about it. You know, they leave the movie and like, that was a great movie.
But, yeah, and that's it.
Yeah. Well, it's fantastic that you do that, and thanks a lot for coming on. Is there anything else you want to add before we let you go?
Well, yeah, sure. I mean, I'd love to play you some stuff.
Yes, of course. We got to get to that, obviously, before we let you go. So, I should totally mention the fact that there's a couple of your songs that we want to talk about here. Which are the ones that you wanted to play again? We want to play the first one.
Well, first, I'll play you the end credits of one of the five films that I was scoring this year at UNC.
Sure,
we could just go ahead and play that one.
You get it queued up for you.
It's called
here.
A Model Airplane.
Actually, you know, we'll get it queued up on this one. We'll get it queued up in just a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to us a little bit about this one. It's from the movie The Model Airplane that you were
showing? It's called Model Airplane. It's a short film that was produced by a set of really talented filmmakers at UNC. It was a student film. And the reason why I like this piece, it's probably my favorite out of all the pieces that I wrote in these past 2 months for all the films, is because I got to use a lot of ethnic instruments, a lot of Middle Eastern instruments. I used like Indian Cuban fusion and Lebanese fusion, just like a ton of things that I fused together, and I think it sounded really cool. So
that's fantastic. And can you tell us a little bit about the movie itself? Like, what is this movie?
Yeah, sure. It's a movie about a high school student who is kind of down on himself. He's not the greatest at school. He's always getting in trouble with detentions, and he's come across these two airplane aviator amateur, you know, enthusiasts and at school, and he starts to fix the airplane, and they were trying to fix it, and he ends up fixing it with his weed whacker. So there's actually a track called Weed Whacker, and
right on.
It's just like it's your American Beauty, great American story. It's you know, tugs on the heartstrings a little bit, so it's pretty nice.
Well, we're gonna take and listen to it right now and hear for ourselves how it sounds. So here it is. It's gonna take a second to load, but
sure.
That is the beauty of technology for you. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. There we go. So I'll just start that from the beginning again. I apologize for the small
thing. No problem.
Because that does happen here in the studio. But I like this one. This is the one I heard. I listened to a few of them,
okay.
And they're really good. Like they're
Thank
really.
You.
There's stuff that I'd probably just like put on my iPod and just listen to before I go to bed, just because it's really relaxing and stuff. So.
Thank you.
So there we go. That's a nice clip from the end. That's the end credit. So do you want to play, is there another one that you really wanted us to hear? Because I know it's just going to go and play a random song in a minute.
Oh, well, the clip that I wanted you to play was actually, it's a part of a duo group that a friend and I are starting. Her name is Nadine Sirhan.
Right on.
She's a great singer. So we did a little demo, so I wanted to definitely play that tonight.
Is it on here, sorry? Or is it?
Yeah, it's on my website.
Right on. Okay. Which one is it? I'll just have to pull it up on the other. Oh, yeah, this one. Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you know how to get there?
Yep.
Okay.
Just give us a moment here. While
sure.
Get that set up for you. Should have done that earlier. That's my apology. So, yeah, your website's really well done. And if anybody wants to go, it's just your name and .com.
Yeah, it's just carolquali.com.
Fantastic and pretty easy to figure out. And it's a really well done website. I actually really like it. It's one of the easier artist websites that I've had to roam around on. So, I
Thank
like
you.
It. And, it's really nice. You got lots of pictures, lots of information in their bio. And is there a link to that organization or the fundraising on this website?
I will have a link up soon, but that's a good idea. I totally forgot to put that on there.
That's cool. There you go, then. So we're just going to get a load up. Unfortunately, the internet here is extremely slow right now, and I don't know why that is, but it is. It's the way the school works. But, yeah, some great music. And it's awesome to have somebody that does a score because, frankly, not a lot of people think about it, like I said. And it's great music. Like I said, I listen to like Jesse Cook and that Hans Zimmer, a lot of the Pirates of the Caribbean music, and it's just a nightly playlist.
Mm-hmm.
And if you looked on like the plays on my iPod, it's probably all at the top, like all of it, because it's very, very, like, it makes me think of the movie when I hear the Pirates of the Caribbean stuff. And the movies, like, the first three are fantastic. Like, I love them to death, like I said. So it makes me remember. And it always brings me back to like a time in my life when I was the happiest most, and that's when I was
mm-hmm.
listening to that music. So. I find it does that where a lot of other music it can, but it doesn't do it the way I think a lot of scores do.
It's true.
Because I think, well, the way it sounds like scores are aimed to be emotional and to make you really get
into
the mood, right?
Yeah, they try to get you into that drama.
All right, so here's the music page here.
And featured artists on the side, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, this is an awesome lead. Who did this website for you? This is
fantastic. I did it, actually.
You did it
yourself? I did it myself, yeah.
It's fantastic. You should do my own website because I'm trying to find, I've got a buddy who wants to do it, but, you know, I need to really improve mine. Or my buddy does it now, but I feel bad that he has to do it for me. So if you got free time on your hands, please design my website because it's going to be really basic. But this is fantastic.
Thank you.
So which one is it, sorry?
It's the second one down, Nadine and Carol, yeah.
And just before we get into this, tell us a little bit about this song.
I think you got to press stop before it plays right away, then.
Yeah, I think you are right on this one. Just making sure. Yeah, I remember going to website and hearing music before I wanted to hear it. And
yeah.
It's good, though. It's good, though. It's good, though. I like it. So tell us a little bit about the song.
Oh, there's
there you go. Already.
Okay, so the song, we actually wrote it a while back, and we've kind of hit a roadblock. We were, you know, our schedules were really difficult to try to get together, but this summer we're really, like, you know, being committed about it, and we're going back into the studio, and when we started writing this song, we both just faced some breakups, so it was kind of like the real motivator for the song. So it's been in the works for a while now, so we're really hoping to finish it up this summer.
So with this song, now I can ask you this question actually more effectively. So with this song, did you sort of write lyrics and then find a beat for it, or was it something that you just this is a question I ask every artist,
sure,
just curious,
yeah.
But was it something like you had a beat in mind and you're like, well, let's put this song, like, this is a song that can work with this?
Well, the way I write is I'm really piano based. I mean, I did my education in piano, so I've always, the way I write music is always, it just always starts with the playing the piano and improvising on the piano. So the way I wrote this one specifically was I started, you know, noodling around the piano, improvising, and I came across a really cool melodic formula. So I just kept playing around with that and developed words on top of that. I find that it's much easier to start writing a piano melody first and then go into the songwriting after that.
It's interesting to hear every artist, because every artist has a different way of doing it.
Oh, yeah.
And every way works for them. So it's really interesting because some people do, like, I have to hear a beat first. And
yeah,
then, like,
it's so true. I mean, also for me, though, sometimes I write music by hearing a drum loop. It just kind of gets me, like, into that inspirational mood to write in that direction. And sometimes I don't. You know, sometimes I'll just write words first.
Has
so
there ever been an instance where you've been, like, you've been in the car, you've been in the shower, you've you have that in your head and you're like, you just get out, you just stop what you're doing, and you just get a piece of paper and write it down? Has that ever happened?
100%. I mean, like, this BlackBerry is full of voice notes. It's really embarrassing if anyone just touches my phone and they go through my voice notes. It's just of me singing. I'll be in the shower. I'll be like, you know, I'll take a quick break, dry my hand, sing it, and then let it go. And it's because, like, I'll forget and I have the worst short-term memory, so I got to make sure I record that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'll send my friends songs, actually. I'll be sending Nadine songs when I'm in the car driving, and I'll send them to her, and she's like, leave me alone, you know?
Well, that's awesome. Yeah, every artist I ever ask that question, it's always funny experiences, so it's pretty cool to hear that. Actually, it happens to me, because it'd be like, I'll be doing something, like, I gotta talk about this on my show, and then, like, I'll forget a week later. So,
oh,
like,
yeah.
100%. I'll be doing something, too. Like, I'll be in the shower, and I'm like, okay, where's my BlackBerry? Where's a piece of paper? I've written
amazing.
It on the shower wall, too, just, like, in, like, you know, like, just, like, to write it down.
That's so true.
It's pretty lame, but it works. All right, so we're going to play the song for you here.
Sure.
You carry on. And this is a great... I heard this one. I was on your
site. Oh, great.
So,
I'm going to make sure we scroll it from the beginning.
Yep.
Yeah.
Let's actually start from the very beginning. There we go.
Yeah.
Oh,
All right, and there you have it. That was Carry On, and that's a wonderful song. It's short, but I like it. It's really good.
Thank you. Yeah, no, it's still very in the demo world right now, so we're still working on that.
Yeah, exactly, and it sounds great. So hopefully when you have the complete version of it, please send it on, and we'll definitely play that.
Yeah, we're shooting for August, yeah.
Right on. Now, do you do a lot of music videos? Do you do any music videos for your... I mean, I know it's kind of weird because I just said scoring, but for this, will you do like a music video, or you do like a visual piece to go with it?
Absolutely. I mean, for this one, actually, I do have experience. She's laughing because we did a little home video.
Right on.
And yeah, but it was fun. But I definitely am looking for this song to shoot a video to go along with it, because we're planning on releasing this on iTunes and starting a big marketable thing for it. So
right on. Well, yeah. If you need any help marketing, let us know here.
Thank
at Radio
so
Nation. We can help you out, and hopefully you make some more money than Rebecca Black did, because that's just unfortunate that had to happen. But that's all the questions I have for you. Again, is there anything else you want to add before we let you go?
I just want to say thank you for having me on the show.
Well, thanks for coming on, and you're welcome to come on anytime you want. I know you'll be heading off to North Carolina. Now, you're going back in the fall, obviously, right?
Yeah, I'll be going back in mid-August.
And it's at Winston-Salem, so maybe when I'm in the area, because hopefully I'm going to try to go down in before Thanksgiving just for fun.
Well, you'll just have to give me a shout.
Yeah, I will, because you know what? There's a great bus service. I've advertised it so many times on this site or on the show. I go on megabus.com, and I got tickets for $10 going to North Carolina.
That's great.
Like $10. Yeah, it's like a 13-hour bus ride, but I'm one of those people that just doesn't care. So
yeah.
I'll be, you know what? Like on Thanksgiving, like I'm planning on going to Tennessee for like 5 hours, because I've never been, and I want to go see what it's like. And
yeah.
You know, my goal is to move out west, so I want to see all the things in here.
I really wanted to go to Tennessee when I was in North Carolina, because it's only like 6 hours west, and I didn't go, and I'm upset with that. But
I'd love to go to Nashville. I'm not a big country person, but like
I am. I'm totally into country.
You know what? Then I should, before you go, I had this one country girl come in my show, and mm-hmm. she's phenomenal. And her name's Elise Saunders.
Okay.
And she's from Peterborough, and I'll play a song for you before she goes. But like, she has the song that is a cover of some other song, but it's really
great.
And I'm not a big country person, but I grew up in small town Ontario for a while, and mm-hmm. so you hear country like every day. And
yeah, it's true.
I'd love to go to Nashville, just because like I think country fans are generally some of the most passionate music fans you'll find. Like,
it's
they're
true.
The most passionate in terms of radio anyway. They're the most passionate radio listeners. They're the most dedicated, because mm-hmm. it's like a dying sort of music.
Yeah,
especially in the city anyway. It is.
Well, here, yeah.
Well, thank you very much for joining us, and again, you're always welcome to come on.
Thank you.
And that's it for Radio Nation for tonight. We'll be playing a little more music before we close off the show. But that's it here on Radio Nation. I'm your host, Nicholas Pescott, joined by Braden, Murphy McFarlane, and Kerwin Kowali. And thank you, all of you, for coming in. It was a lot of fun. I hope you had a great time on the show. And you'll be on Josh Skinner's show.
Thank you,
The original soundtrack on June 24th. So that'll be fantastic, and I'm sure he'll have some fun questions for you as well. And,
I can't wait.
he does good interviews, too, so you'll have a lot of fun on his show, and he's a little more organized than I am sometimes. So I'm not going to lie, sometimes I get a little disorganized, but he's a good guy, and you'll have a lot of fun. And I know he's listening right now, so there you go. So don't forget, everybody, if you're listening to my show and you want to listen to the original soundtrack and hear more of our great artists, definitely check it out. Fridays at 5 here on the same internet radio network, Centennial College Internet Radio. I'm your host, Nicholas Pescott, and it is now almost 9 o'clock. So with that, we're going to kick off some more music. And actually works so nicely, because the next song is by our artist Elise Saunders. That is More of That. So here it is. Welcome back to Radio Nation. I'm your host, Nicholas Pescott. It's 9 o'clock now, and thanks again for listening, everybody who's listening. Don't forget to listen to the original soundtrack at Fridays at 5 o'clock on the same station. Again, thanks for listening, and thanks for our great artist and our great guest for coming in. It was a lot of fun. And thanks to Elon Lee. He has all the technical work as well behind the scenes from his own home, and he's a fantastic individual. And he doesn't get the credit he deserves enough on this show. But without him, I got no where I might be. So thanks for him, and there's some great news coming up with my show and Josh's show. So I'm sure Josh will talk about that on his show. And thanks again for listening. Have a great night.